Jesus says in the gospel today, "In my Father's house there are many dwelling places. If there were not, would I have told you that I am going to prepare a place for you? And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come back again and take you to myself, so that where I am, you also may be." Our Lord is comforting the apostles who are sad, and Jesus is sad. Jesus was sad, and they were sad seeing Jesus sad. They knew something was going to happen, and they didn't realize how bad it was going to be. But our Lord was preparing for them the crisis that was going to come upon him by telling them that there is a place for them in heaven. And this is also a preparation for the coming feast of the Ascension of our Lord. And so our minds are progressively, you know, more and more on heaven. And with the Easter mystery, our thoughts are on heaven, where Jesus is risen from the dead, and he's in heaven, preparing a place for all of us, as he did for the apostles, preparing a place for us, so that where I am, you also may be. Heaven is being where Jesus is. Heaven is Jesus. Heaven is God. And we think of heaven as this beautiful place. You know, the Watchtower magazine, the Jehovah's Witnesses, they show you how beautiful a place this is, an earthly paradise and all that, which is true. But primarily, heaven is God. Heaven is God himself. Heaven is a person. Heaven is loving God. Heaven is love, the love of God, pervading us deep within us. In the depth of our heart is love, love for God, and God's love for us. And he possessing us, and we possessing God. This is heaven, to possess God, to have happiness himself, infinite blissful happiness as God, possessing him. And this is, you know, we obviously have a poor taste of that in the Eucharist. Here, in the grace of God, in baptism, we possess God, and he possesses us. So we have heaven in our hands. You know, we grab hold of heaven, we grab hold of God, and he's so humble, he's so good, so full of love that he gives himself to us, and we can possess him. And so we are, you know, blessed this Sunday, and as we approach this Easter season, to reflect on heaven. And it's not just something we do in this time, in this Easter time, but always, you know, always. And I think it's important, too, that, you know, for our growth in holiness and growth in love for God, to focus on the positive things. You know, there's all kinds of negative things we can focus on, but is that going to really help us? Is that going to really help you and me, us Catholics, us devout Catholics, to focus on the negative and the things that are going wrong and all that? You know, that's not, you know, the way the saints were. The saints were always positive, optimistic, and you know, I think one of our modern saints, Saint Therese, she was full of love for God. You know, she would go to sleep at night and dream about flowers and dream about meadows and happy things. And she said she grew up and was full of love surrounding her, and she didn't have any negativity. And she grew up to be one of the greatest and strongest, most powerful saints. She was ready to undergo anything and everything. And she said that herself. She was ready to undergo any kind of martyrdom. And she said, "I won't be satisfied until I suffer every form of martyrdom." That's how strong she was in her love for God, and you know, that's, you can see how strong we can become in virtue and holiness if we focus on love and focus on the positive and the good things and grow in that. You know, we know, this doesn't mean we don't, you know there's negative things there around us. Sin, there's evil, and there are sins, there are people that don't go to heaven or that are not on the way there. But how do we best help them? Through focusing on love and charity and the good things, and show them that face. Show them the face of the love of God and the mercy of God in heaven. Show them heaven. We can show them hell, you know, but is that the best thing for today? I don't think so. You know, the judgment and justice of God, is that the face we want to show to people today? I don't think so. I don't think so. You know, Saint Therese didn't respond to that. You know, there was a priest gave a talk, a retreat to them, and spoke about justice and the punishment of God. And she was depressed. She was downtrodden, and she didn't know how to deal with that. You know, so that's the Theresian spirituality, and she's kind of a modern saint for us. And I don't know about you, but I prefer that kind of spirituality. You know, don't we thrive more on encouragement than on negativity and criticism? And you know, some of us may need that. Some of us may need that. But those who need that are those who don't repent. Those who don't repent for their sins. So if there's anybody here who doesn't repent or doesn't want to repent or is not in the act and habit of repentance, then I say to you, fire and brimstone. You know, you can reflect on that. But those of you who want to repent, you know, who want to love God and who want to live a good and holy life, then focus on the good things. Focus on the mercy and love of God. That's how we will best grow in holiness and virtue. This is how we will thrive, like Saint Therese. She thrived on good and holy things, and this is how we will best help not only ourselves, but our neighbor. Show them the face of the mercy and love of God. Show them the face of heaven, and this is what will perhaps seems to be the best thing for our culture and for our times, to lift people out of the doldrums, to lift them out of sin, to lift them out of depression and despair and sadness, to lift them out of the things of this world. Lift them out, show them the face of heaven, show them the face of Jesus, show them Our Lady. And to do that, we have to give, you can't give what you don't have, so we have to get heaven. We have to get heaven in our hearts. Put Jesus there and focus on Him. Focus on the things of heaven. That's a virtue, you know. It's a virtue to focus on heaven and to know that it is promised to you, me, that Jesus is preparing a place for us. To think that there's no heaven for you is to lack in the trust, lack in the love of God. To think that God doesn't want me to be in heaven, God doesn't want me to be there, that He's not going to give me every grace and help and strength to get there. Jesus is. God wants us to be in heaven more than we want to be there. So to think that there is no heaven for us is a lack of faith and love for God, lack in the goodness and acceptance of the goodness and love and mercy of God. So we are focusing on heaven for ourselves, not for ourselves, but for the love of God, because that makes God happy. It pleases God for us to think about heaven and that one day we are going to be there with Him. So let us want to go to heaven. Let us want to go to heaven for God's sake first, and secondarily for our own sake, to make God happy. And so we prepare for heaven. We prepare and we practice this virtue of hope, this virtue of heaven. Practice the virtue of heaven by thinking about it as often as we can, that we are going to be there one day, that we're going to be there with Jesus, with Mary, with the saints, and with the angels. Imagine what the angels are going to be like. Every single angel is a different species, you know, a different kind of being. You know, all of us humans are all the same kind of species, but all the angels, they say, Saint Thomas, the saints, scholars of the church, say every angel is different. Every angel is a different spirit, and it's going to be pretty amazing to reflect on the immense, infinite creativity of God and the beauty of God in creating the angels and all our saints and all the air of love in heaven. Love is heaven. Heaven is love. So the joy and the happiness of being in the company of the saints and Our Lady, who is a paradise within paradise, and God, of course, who is heaven itself. So we reflect on these things, and let's reflect on them more and more, and you know, make it practical. You know, we think of the happiest time we can experience here on earth, and multiply that by how much? I don't know. Multiply it by 100 or 1,000 or however happy we'll be in heaven. We know that it's going to be immensely great, so great that we can't even imagine, that our greatest imagination won't even come close. It'll be a shadow of the joys of heaven and paradise. And so we should do that. We should reflect on heaven, what it's going to be like. Be like Brother Leo, one of the first followers of St. Francis, who would reflect on heaven so much that he would fall into ecstasy anytime heaven would be mentioned. You know, he'd walk through the streets and the kids, the little children, would go up to him and say, "Paradise, Paradiso, Paradiso," just to see him get caught up in ecstasy. Just by hearing the word, and that can happen to you and me too, if we are really dipping in and reflecting and meditating and delving in on the truth of heaven that is ours, that is promised to us. And it's not hard to get to heaven with the mercy of God, with the mercy and love of God. All we have to do is be faithful and be sorry for our sins and strive every day, every moment of our life to please God, to do everything to please God. To do everything to please God. This is what St. Therese said. She said, we can even avoid purgatory if we do everything to please God on a daily basis, on a moment-to-moment basis. And as we strive to please God and grow in love for God, she says that all of our sins will be purged away. And because of the mercy of God and our trust in his love and mercy, that he doesn't want us to go even to purgatory. You know, and I think that's something that we can really do as an exercise, to strive to please God, because, you know, most of us, including myself, you know, at times we strive to please ourselves without offending God. That's kind of how we go about our day, our life, you know, and trying to enjoy ourselves as much as we can without offending God. But, you know, we need to do better than that. We need to try to orient our focus and our direction and our thoughts and intentions on doing these things, doing everything. What does please God more? The thing I decide to do next, what does God want me to do? What would make him most happy? And then try to do that. Put his intentions, his happiness first, and, you know, try to wean ourselves away from our own will, our own self-focus, self-attention, self-seeking, and seek the joy and happiness of God. And, you know, with that comes our own happiness, our own joy in loving God and what making him happy. We know that that's our greatest joy, and that's the fullness of life. Jesus wants us to live life to the full, and we do that by doing his will, by loving him with all our hearts, by focusing on the positive things, on love, on heaven, on charity, on doing good. And, you know, we don't have to focus on sin so much. We don't have to focus on judgment and justice, you know, if we are full of the love of God. You know, Jesus said, love casts out all fear. So we don't have to frighten ourselves by sin and hell and justice if we are full of the love of God. So let us be full of that, and please God, and then that's what God wants us. That's what God makes God happy. So let us strive to make him happy, and in that way help our neighbor as well.
Fructum ventris tuum.